Welcome to the situation update for Tuesday, January 5th. Wow. Tomorrow is the big day. Wow. So much pivots on tomorrow. We have a lot to cover today. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. Naturalnews.com and Brighteon.com. And today's podcast is best described as kind of a good news, bad news situation. Which one do you want to hear first? You want to hear the good news or you want to hear the bad? Oh, the bad news. You want to hear the bad news first. I see. Well, the bad news is that every institution has turned against us. Everything. And most of the GOP, including, it seems, McCarthy, the minority House leader for the GOP, has also turned against us. And he's made a secret deal with Pelosi and McConnell to make sure that any objections get shut down tomorrow as the votes, you know, the fraudulent electoral votes are read. Now, we know that they know this election was fraudulent. They know it was stolen. Joe Biden bragged about it. Nancy Pelosi knows it was stolen. Mike Pence knows it was stolen. Everybody in Washington knows it was rigged. It was stolen. And yet they go on Fox News and they say, there's no evidence of vote fraud. No evidence at all. Really? Well, we're going to cover some of that evidence here today. But despite the fact that they know it was rigged and that they know the CCP has infiltrated every institution in America, it seems, they still hate Trump so much that they would sacrifice this nation to make sure that Trump loses. They would rather China win and take over this country and turn it into a communist authoritarian crap hole than to see Trump serve another day in the White House. Their hatred for Trump has become betrayal of the nation. That's the bad news. Okay, the good news is there are still several paths to victory. And the last path, which is the We the People path, is one that they can't take away from us. And I have a feeling it's going to come down to the We the People path, by the way. I'm beginning to sense that that's where this is going, which means, by the way, an armed uprising all across the country to arrest and try all the traitors everywhere in the states, the governorships, the secretaries of state, the members of Congress all across the country, treasonous, corrupt judges. If all of those people won't respect the laws of the land, if they're going to play these games and say, oh, you have no standing on any election fraud. Nobody has any standing. The fraud stands, but you have no standing. They're going to play that game. Guess what? They go down by we the people is probably where this is going. Okay? So these are the two themes that we're going to cover today. The bad news that the corruption is way deeper than we thought. The good news that we still have options available. And just as a quick overview, as we before we get into the details here, here are the big options that are available. Number one, Trump laying out some bombshell Kraken evidence tomorrow, which he promised to do. His team has promised to do. So they've told us that once objections are raised by members of the House and members of the Senate, and we know there are going to be plenty of objectors, Trump's team is supposed to lay out some bombshell evidence that apparently they believe would change the outcome of the vote of Congress. It's got to be big, big bombshell stuff in order to do that. It can't be just mild stuff. It can't be just, oh, here's more statistical proof of Georgia committing fraudulent ballot crimes. We know that. They know that. Pelosi knows that. The Democrats know it. It can't be just that. It can't be just more evidence of fraud. There's more than enough evidence right now for any rational person to nullify the election. The Democrats aren't interested in the evidence, and neither are most of the GOP. They're not interested in evidence. So it can't just be more evidence, even though there is more compelling evidence that's emerging. And I'll cover some of that today. It's got to be major game-changing information, such as Jeffrey Epstein-level information or DNI Ratcliffe-level information, foreign interference, proof that this election was an act of war against America. For example, something big like that, something that is a bombshell smoking gun so devastating that even Democrats can't run and hide from it. And they're shameless. They can run and hide from almost anything: pedophilia, abortion, mass murder, you know, their own racism and intolerance, their hatred of white people and Christians. I mean, they justify everything. So it's going to be a high hurdle to convince Democrats to do the right thing. I'm not sure they're capable of it. The second option, so that was the first one, Trump's bombshell crack in evidence. The second option still available to us is VP Mike Pence, that he could do a lot of things once he's handed those envelopes and his job is to open them and read the electoral votes. He could do a number of things. He could literally throw away the votes from all the fraudulent swing states and say, hey, these votes don't count. He could, Trump's attorney, Jenna Ellis, is now suggesting that Mike Pence kick all those votes back to the swing states themselves and demand the legislatures get called into session and, renegotiate, I suppose, or re-decide which are the proper slate of electors. And we'll cover that here too. Pence could also say that I alone hereby say the Biden votes don't count from these swing states and just hand the election to Trump, although it seems doubtful that he would do that. So Pence has a number of options. He could also call for the 10-day election investigation commission, which I think would be nothing but a smokescreen just to cover up and bury the evidence. But Pence has a lot of things that he could do. Pence could save the Republic himself. Will he do it? I doubt it. I'm still skeptical. I mean, I hope and pray he does the right thing, and I certainly welcome it. I just don't think he's going to. Guess we'll find out soon. Maybe in about 30 hours, or depending on when you hear this, it's not very far away. Tomorrow's going to be a fascinating day, that's for sure. The third option that's still available, which I still think is the most likely option, is that after Biden is confirmed by the Congress as being the president-elect, Trump invokes the Insurrection Act or some form of military authority. Trump declares the election to be an act of war, null and void, foreign interference, boom. Seizes the machines, redoes the election, maybe arrests Joe Biden and 100 other top-level Democrats. I don't know what that's going to look like, but that's the third option. And then the fourth option is we the people, which is the people rising up under the Second Amendment that was granted by our founding fathers as an emergency, a national immune system. Break glass in emergency. It's an emergency action to halt tyranny. And I believe that the Patriots will do it if Trump doesn't do something first. Because I think the Patriots realize that if Biden gets in, Biden's a CCP puppet, and Biden will try to destroy the Second Amendment, and he will also, of course, take away the First Amendment, which I'm pretty much already crushed by big tech, and Biden will criminalize Christianity, and especially if the Democrats get the Senate, and they're going to rig the Georgia election. We'll probably find out later tonight that, two Democrats won in Georgia, and they'll have the results instantly, because they rigged it for the Democrats. Now, if the GOP candidates are winning, then they'll delay and they'll pause the counting and they'll shut it down and they'll delay it for a couple of days so they can drag in more ballots, for the losers on the Dem side to turn them into the winners, right? Just like they did in the general election. But I imagine they've already rigged the Georgia runoff election so much that they're going to announce tonight that the two Democrats have won, which means the Senate goes to the Democrats, which is going to make Mitch McConnell super happy. Oh, he's so happy, Mr. Traitor himself. China Mitch is what I'm going to start calling him, not Cocaine Mitch anymore. China Mitch will be super happy, and the Democrats will have achieved a complete takeover of the country. They will have rigged and stolen the White House, the Congress, which they stole in 2018, and then the Senate, stealing it in 2020. And then They're going to get rid of the filibuster. They're going to stack the Supreme Court. Not that that matters, because the Supreme Court is useless anyway. And they're going to criminalize political differences. They're going to lock you down with endless mask mandates and vaccine mandates and quarantines. Already talking about it in New York City. They're going to take you away, drag you out of your home, and throw you into a quarantine camp for any reason that they want. You don't even have to show symptoms. And they will selectively use this power against conservatives. So they'll come to your home, drag you out, and throw you into basically a death camp. And then if you fight back, they'll say, well, stop being violent. You're violent. And then Biden will invoke the Insurrection Act against the violent uprising of violent protesters. See those conservatives, how violent they are protesting in the streets, not throwing Molotov cocktails, not shining lasers in the eyes of federal agents, not bombing government buildings, but being peaceful, they will be called terrorists. Meanwhile, Black Lives Matter and Antifa, being terrorists, they are called peaceful, as you know. So rather than face that prospect, most American patriots who know what's going on, they would probably much rather pick up a rifle and just take their chances and fight to the death, because they know they're going to die anyway under the CCP. And you can't really argue with that logic, can you? This is it. This is the end. You either fight for America now, or they will come for you and they will throw you into a death camp. A Biden-Harris administration will recreate the Holocaust right here in America. And they will do it with a smile on their face, and they will say it's in the name of love and tolerance, because that's what the woke-tards do on the left, the total criminal fraud of leftism and wokesterism. So those are the options, folks. They're getting pretty limited here. SCOTUS is no longer an option. They've failed. Congress does not look like an option. It's going to fail. There's only the Trump Kraken, the Pence option, and then the post-January 6th Insurrection Act option, and then we the people. So it's down to four. Remember, we started with about 10 options. It's down to four. And none of those four are going to be pretty, by the way. So that's where we are today. Now, we're going to move on to some of the details here. I'm going to get to some specific news items, but before I get there, you know, I mentioned the woketards. Just a cultural note here. A friend was showing me some recent movies. Now, I'm not plugged into pop culture. I don't watch movies. I don't subscribe to Netflix. You know, I don't get TV. I don't have cable. None of that garbage, because it's a total waste of time. But when a friend showed me some recent movies, it was jaw-dropping. Just, I could not believe what I was seeing. Literally every TV show and every movie now, the script writers have apparently been ordered to make sure that every script depicts men, especially white men, as useless, weak, and stupid. The heroes are now always women or people of color, but mostly just women. They're usually small, dainty women who are the heroes doing amazing superhero things while the men stand around and act stupid and useless. And there's a recent film. It was set in World War II, 1943, and the female lead character is hopping on this plane, and she's smuggling a baby on this plane, her own baby. And all the men are these horrible, like, you know, chauvinistic, misogynistic, horrible men. And then somehow there's like alien bat creatures attacking this plane. And the woman, of course, beats all the bat creatures while the men are useless. And then at the end of the movie, the scene is that a man is holding her baby and standing around doing nothing while the woman walks up and attacks and kills through hand-to-hand combat this demon bat creature. So that's the full woke-tardism right there, is that the men should stay home and hold the babies, and the women should engage in combat because the women are the only ones who are capable, intelligent, or strong. This is what left-wing wokesterism nonsense is pushing now. And it's literally in every show, every movie, every TV series. And they depict the quote alt-right as rioters in the streets who are attacking police. When the script writers know full well it's the left that's attacking police. It's Black Lives Matter and Antifa. It's the right that is pro-police. But they have to blame the violence on the alt-right, at which they describe as neo-Nazis and racists. So whatever the left, remember, whatever the left does, they project it onto you. So when leftists are full of hatred, intolerance, and stupidity, they call you, you know, a stupid racist hater. Whatever they're doing, they project onto you. And this is in the films, in the media. And by the way, it's all, the scripts are all written by the CIA. So the CIA is handing them, you know, bullet points, or even just writing the scripts and saying, all of your movies, all of your shows, and this is totally true in Disney as well. So all the superhero now, the Disney movies, the hero has to be either a person of color or a female. And pretty soon it's going to be like gay Spider-Man, and it's going to be like, you know, transgender Wonder Woman instead of, you know, the normal Wonder Woman that we used to have. Normality is no longer allowed in Disney, which owns Marvel and also owns, you know, what was Lucasfilm, the whole Star Wars saga. So in the future, not that far in the future, like the next movie that'll come out, it's going to be like some green-haired Antifa-looking X-Men lunatic, but it's going to be called X-Women, and all the women are the fighters and all the men are losers. And then in the Star Wars series, it's always going to be that men suck, women are the heroes, and they're going to be lesbians, like lesbian lightsaber-wielding women, like lesbian Jedis and transgender Jedis, whatever. That's what it's all going to be like that now. Because they've taken over Hollywood, and they're using it to destroy the family. And they're using it to depict men as weak and women as the rulers of society. Because this is what they want. They want a woman, I should say a left-wing liberal woman ruled society. Instead of having healthy families of confident men and women who can lead society in a rational, intelligent way that's in alignment with family values. Everything in Hollywood, they hate family values. So this is what's coming. All right, Julian Assange, his extradition was blocked by a UK judge. So he's not going to be extradited to the United States, and Mexico is offering him asylum. Interesting tidbit. I also learned today that there are two independent media personalities who have been pro-Trump voices who are now, I've learned, they are CIA infiltrators running a psyop on patriots. It's very sad. Now, I've never mentioned any of their work, and I've never mentioned their names before. And they often appear together in interviews. One of them comes off as, you know, pardon my language, but a bullshit artist. Let's just be honest. And, you know, they're CIA people. And it just underscores the importance of discernment as you're listening to different people analyze the situation. I think it's very important to make sure that you're tuned into people that can explain mechanisms and can cite sources. And for me, because I'm in that same exercise as well, I'm always trying to discern who's a good source, what theory makes sense, who's, you know, what mechanism in the 12th Amendment could be cited in this case? What's the evidence of this? And so on, right? And then I speculate also, but when I'm laying out evidence, I'm usually citing the sources. This is Epoch Times. This is from the National Pulse. This is, you know, a quote from Jenna Ellis, a tweet from President Trump, whatever, a statement from Mike Pence. So there are many people that I don't trust in independent media, and there are many people I do. And Jerome Corzi is one who I think is a very good researcher, and he tends to be on the money with these things. And the thing about Jerome Corzi is, normally, he provides a mechanism, you know, an understanding, and he interviews well-informed guests such as constitutional attorney Ivan Raiklin, who explains things. So I trust Corzi's analysis. Also, Jeffrey Prather is someone whom I trust because of his background and his experience working with the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, or the DEA, and being in government for so long and also being attacked by government himself. They tried to throw him in prison, you know? So he's seen it all. And his analysis, I think, is spot on. Then there are a lot of voices that, I don't know, there's voices that are like false faith that they say are spreading hopium, just giving you false hope. And then there are voices that are giving you like false depression. They're trying to bring you down. It's over, you know. You know what I mean? We're all gonna die, like in Aliens 2. Oh my God, man, they're gonna get us. Remember that? That was a great moment in Hollywood history right there. So try to, you know, try to discern the difference, and I will too. I mean, I do that every day. And I'm not perfect at it, but over the years I've come to learn of you know, some kind of signs of people who are full of it. And there are definitely a lot of personalities out there. Some are good, some are not so good. So just use that. And, you know, look, do your homework and get information from multiple sources too. And I will always try to give you my best, just the most transparent explanations I can. I don't have any ulterior agenda. I mean, I want Trump to win. I want to live in a free republic, for God's sake. You know, I want us to live in a free country. I want patriots to be informed. And you'll notice I've never said, oh, sit back and trust the plan. Everything's going to be fine. You don't have to lift a finger. No, I've always said, take action. You know, call your senators, join the rally. And, you know, get your rifles ready, even if in case it comes to a civil war. I've always said, take action. So I'm very suspicious of people who are like, you don't have to do anything. We're gonna defend your freedom for you. Yeah, there's a secret plan in place and it's all going to work out. Yeah, just go back to sleepy time. Yeah, I don't trust those people. I don't think it works that way. In fact, I tend to believe what Jeffrey Prather says, that freedom is never given. Freedom is earned. You want to be free? You're going to have to earn it. We're all going to have to earn it. And it's going to get ugly. And it may come to the point where Second Amendment gets activated in this country, and we literally have to fight for our republic. In fact, I strongly suspect that's exactly where this is going. None of us are going to be able to sit on the couch. In fact, moving forward on the discussion here today, It's obvious to me that Trump is fully surrounded now. He is under siege. Everybody in D.C. is a swamp creature. Even Trump's own staff, they're swamp creatures. And I'm not even sure that Trump can invoke the Insurrection Act anymore. I'm not even sure that the military would follow his orders at all. I kind of think that it's going to come down to we the people saving Trump, not Trump saving us. Yeah, seriously. And there's a rumor now that the 1776 flag is being flown from the White House, which apparently would be basically a call to arms for patriots, is how a lot of people would interpret that symbol, 1776. And I kind of wonder if Trump is a prisoner in the White House and needs to be rescued. I mean, it seems like we're getting there. So, I mean, he's a prisoner in D.C., that's for sure. He's in the swamp. I think we the people are going to have to save Trump. And then together, Trump and we the people are going to have to save the republic. And apparently a lot of other Americans agree with that assessment, because the FBI just released the statistics for gun purchase background checks for 2020. And guess how many background checks there were for firearms purchases in calendar 2020. It was the biggest year ever, and it was 39 million. Now, remember, those are just the gun purchases that are conducted by people who don't have concealed carries. Because in most states, if you have a concealed carry permit, then your FFL dealer doesn't they don't use the background check system. They don't have to. They just fill out the paperwork and give you the gun because you've already gone through the background checks since you have a concealed carry. That's the way it is in Texas and a lot of states. So, for example, when I go in and purchase a gun, there's no background check with the FBI. Because I have a concealed carry, and millions of Americans do. So If you think, you know, 39 million guns were purchased by people who don't have concealed carry permits, how many guns do you think were purchased by people who do? I mean, you could say maybe about an equal number would be a good guess. So that's about 80 million guns that were purchased in 2020. 80 million guns. That's an estimate. But that's on top of the estimated 500 million guns that already exist in America. So we are in a country now with over half a billion firearms. That's right. And you'll notice that you can't buy any ammo anywhere. It's all sold out, except if you want to pay now 400% higher prices than what it used to be. Yeah, that's right. 9mm ammo is now $1 a round. That's crazy. That's what we used to have to pay when I lived in Ecuador. It was $1 a round in Ecuador. You know, a year ago in the U.S., it was 18 cents a round. Now it's $1, and that's on sale. And every ammo manufacturer is just blowing ammo out the door. They're running full tilt. The CEO, I think, of what was it, Hornady, did a video like, the rumors aren't true. We're not holding back ammo. We're running, you know, 24/7, three shifts a day. Forklifts are running. We're producing ammo all the time. It's just that everybody's buying it. So you got a country full of half a billion guns. Who knows how many billion rounds of ammo and millions of pissed off patriots who are descending on D.C. with the White House waving the 1776 flag, reportedly, and a treasonous cabal of swamp creatures running Congress and running the Supreme Court, you know, and running the governorships. How do you think this is going to turn out? That's all I'm saying. How do you think? I imagine, and again, I always have to put the disclaimer up here, I'm not calling for it, not advocating it, not inciting anybody to commit acts of violence, but I imagine where this is going is nationwide civil war, where armed citizens seek out and carry out mass arrests of treasonous criminals, governors, mayors, secretaries of state, court judges who are corrupt, state legislative lawmakers who are corrupt, as well as members of Congress and the Senate who are corrupt. I think that this could happen all across the country. And we could find ourselves in a civil war pretty quickly here. Pretty quickly after January 6th. And remember, I said it's an 80% chance that Joe Biden is confirmed by Congress as the president-elect on January 6th. That means Congress has a majority of traitors who need to go to prison, who need to be tried for treason, frankly, under a military tribunal or some other form of faster justice that is rooted in the authority of the president, let's say. So that day is probably coming, because I don't know how the swamp creatures expect that they can rig the election, steal the country, surrender it to China, and then what? They think 10 million armed Americans are just going to sit back and go, well, okay, we'll try better next election. No, not going to happen. So I don't know where these swamp creatures think that they're going to hide when the patriots get activated, because you can't stop millions of armed Americans who are determined to save their country, can you? You can't stop them. You can't stop them with your local defunded police. You can't stop them with your National Guards. You can't even stop them with the military, because the military won't fire on patriot Americans who are saving the Republic, which is what the military is sworn to do in the first place. See, if we, the people, activate, that is, if the American people activate, then America wins. The only way the American people lose is if they surrender to tyranny. And I don't think that's going to happen. Now, National File is reporting that Mike Pence, Nancy Pelosi, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell have all reached an informal backroom deal to expedite the January 6th challenge in the Electoral College and end it with a simple majority vote after a two-hour debate. So this is National File, Tom Papert's website. So he is saying, again, that all these people, Pence and McCarthy and Pelosi and McConnell, are all basically conspiring to destroy the Republic and to make sure that Joe Biden gets installed in the White House. So you see, we have a lot of questions about Pence over the last few days. We don't know what he's going to do, but I've always said consistently, well, I've called him the traitor elect. I don't think Pence is going to save America. I think it comes down to we the people, like I said. Now, Jerome Corsi said in his broadcast yesterday that it would be fraudulent for Pence to accept the fraudulent electors from the fraudulent states. Because, as Corsi explains, and I think he's right, if the states themselves are in on the criminal fraud, then it's not like the state, let's say Georgia, you can't have the state of Georgia can't certify fraudulent votes if the state itself has carried out the fraud. In the same way that, you know, you can't have a bunch of legislators get together and pass a law for themselves to be legal to rob banks. Just because they're the legislators doesn't mean that they have the right to violate the law and give themselves extraordinary powers that, you know, violate the social contract of society. Or in the case of the states, the states compact with the union, you know, the United States of America. So it's illegal when a state commits fraud. And all these swing states committed fraud. And most of them committed just overtly blatant fraud by changing their voting rules without the permission of the state legislatures. And that means that all the elections in those states were invalid and fraudulent. So Pence cannot accept them except or unless Pence is a traitor. So the minute Pence accepts the fraudulent votes from Arizona, you will know Pence is a traitor. And I don't want to hear any more from these people that are defending Pence. Oh, Pence is a good guy. Pence is a Christian. If you're a Christian, you can't certify fraud. You can only certify fraud if you reject Christ. And mark my words, Pence is going to reject Christ and reject America. He's going to betray us. He's going to stab us in the back. And if for some reason he doesn't, then I will apologize for saying that. But it's not hard to see where this is going. Now, Trump attorney Jenna Ellis says that Pence could defer certifying the election and he could send requests back to the state legislatures. Here's what she said. And this was in an interview with Just the News. Quote, what Mike Pence could do and what he should do, in fact, is to direct a question back to the state legislatures when there are two competing slates of delegates from these six states. He can ask that question to the states and say, well, state legislatures, you know, I have an oath to the Constitution to uphold the Constitution as written in Article 2, Section 1.2, which says the state legislatures direct the manner in which electoral delegates are selected. So you tell me which of these two slates was selected in the manner that your state general assembly has designated. That's the quote from Jenna Ellis. And she says that would end up with a clean outcome, very clean outcome to the election. The problem with what she's saying there is that there is something called the Electoral Vote Act of 1887. And the Electoral Vote Act already says that if there are two sets of competing electors, the correct set is the one that was certified by the executive branch of the states, which would be the state governors, who are the treasonous criminal Democrats in most cases. So her argument doesn't work because of the Electoral Vote Act, which, by the way, Rep. Louis Gohmert was trying to, you know, sue Pence so that a court would rule that the Electoral Vote Act was unconstitutional, but that lawsuit got thrown out because the courts are in on the corruption. And then on top of all that, Pelosi and McConnell, they just carried out a vote yesterday to adopt new rules covering the January 6th electoral vote count. And I looked at these new rules. It didn't seem like there were many changes in the rules, but you can bet there's some subtlety in there that we haven't figured out yet that's going to make sure no one can succeed in objecting to the electoral votes. So mark my words, it's almost certain that at the end of the day, tomorrow, Joe Biden will be the president-elect. And Trump is going to have to move into the military options, or we the people are going to have to activate to take our country back. That's where this is going. Now, a U.S. attorney for Northern Georgia resigned today suddenly. And he covers Fulton County and Atlanta. And he cited, quote, unforeseen circumstances. He was appointed by Trump. Why did he suddenly resign? And of course, unforeseen circumstances can cover anything. Now, Ivan Raiklin, who I mentioned earlier, who was interviewed by Jerome Corsi, he mentioned something interesting, a good strategy. He's a strategist when it comes to law. He said that when an objection is raised, as Pence is reading the fraudulent votes, there's an objection raised. And then it goes to the two-hour debate and then a floor vote in the House and the Senate separately. What Kevin McCarthy could do, if he wasn't a backstabbing traitor, it should be noted, is that he could make sure that the GOP members of the House do not participate in the Nancy Pelosi member vote, but rather do a parallel standalone vote based on state delegations. And then he should submit the results of that vote, which the GOP would win, back to Mike Pence, so that at the end of that vote, Mike Pence would have two competing votes from the House and then one vote from the Senate, which would probably go for Biden because the Senate has other backstabbing traitors like Mitt Romney and some other, you know, other GOP senators who are backstabbing traitors. Raiklin also mentions that Pence could stop the whole thing right up front by just citing John Ratcliffe's report on foreign intelligence, and Pence could invoke the fact that as the vice president, he's in a position to have access to intelligence that many other people, including members of Congress, do not have access to. And this is why the Constitution specifically grants this discretionary power to the vice president to accept or reject electoral votes based on his own judgment. And he doesn't have to explain himself because, again, he can have access to intelligence that Congress doesn't know about. Now, Matt Gaetz is one of the Patriots, and he's proven himself again and again and again, just as Devin Nunes has as well. And I think Nunes was just awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And I think Jim Jordan was as well. Well, Matt Gaetz said something very insightful today. And I'm a supporter of Gaetz. I think he's doing a lot of good work. And he says, we aren't going back to the old Republican Party. He was in an interview, and this is covered by trendingpolitics.com. He says, quote, we're not going back to the losing politely with Mitt Romney. We are not going back to the Bushes and the Cheneys. This is Donald Trump's party. I'm a Donald Trump Republican. That's where the energy of our party is. And I'm glad that he pointed this out because, you know, the GOP, as you have known it, is dead. The GOP is dead and gone. And Trump supporters have zero tolerance remaining for people like Mitch McConnell and Mitt Romney. I mean, if Mitt Romney ran today, he would lose, lose, lose. Same thing with Mitch McConnell. And by the way, isn't this an argument for term limits? Shouldn't these old geezers be slapped out of their seats and sent packing? I mean, for God's sake. You know, you want to serve in the Senate. Yeah, serve, you know, 2 years, 4 years, maybe 6 years as a senator, depending on what the term should be, and then get out of there. Go home. Go back to your business. And that's it. You serve once in your life, and it's over. That would be serving. Because you're not supposed to make a career out of politics like Joe Biden did. Or Senator Schumer. Or Senator, you know, former Senator McCain. Or, you know, any of these people. You're not supposed to live on the trough here. You're not supposed to function as a parasite on society. You're not supposed to stay in D.C. You're supposed to go there, you know, serve for 2 or 4 years, get out, go home, and, you know, get out of that town as fast as you can because it's a cesspool of filth and corruption and fraud and pedophilia, it turns out. Just read some of the Lynn Wood tweets. Whoa. Get out of D.C. You know, there are two cities in this country that I can't stand, personally. Las Vegas and Washington, D.C. I can't stand Vegas. I refuse to go there ever again. The energy of just desperation and just addiction and substance abuse and gambling and prostitution. It's just the worst city ever. It's just horrible. And DC is a different kind of horror. It's like higher level corruption and, you know, demonism and, I don't know, satanic infestation, just pure evil seething throughout the city. I can't stand either one of those two cities. And in both cases, everything's rigged against you. By the way, you go to Vegas, you're gambling away your money because the house always wins. You go to DC, gambling away your liberty because the house always wins. In that case, it's actually the House and the Senate. It's all rigged, folks. Did you know that members of the House have a private fund that's funded by taxpayers that pays off settlements to women that male members of Congress have sexually harassed? Did you know that? It's a settlement fund, and it's funded by taxpayers. So if you're a congressman, you can go out and slap some ass. You can harass, you know, you can, I'm not going to get graphic here, but you can do crazy stuff to women all in your office, all over the Capitol building. And if there's a lawsuit by that woman, the taxpayers pay for it. And it's all kept quiet because as part of the settlement, there's a non-disclosure arrangement. Oh, that's the House for you right there. The House always wins. And they just print money and hand it out to their friends and get kickbacks via Bitcoin. It's a whole giant scam cesspool system. And that's what Donald Trump is fighting. And he doesn't want to be there any more than I do. But he is there, and he's fighting, and he needs our help right now, that's for sure. Charles Hugh Smith talks about the life cycle of corruption in these bureaucracies. It's a good time to mention that. He's a good writer, good analyst. He writes that at some point when the bureaucracy becomes, you know, more corrupt and it's getting to the end life cycle of a failed nation, he says, quote, the competent leave or are forced out, leaving those of supreme incompetence in power. Managers who've been selected for loyalty to the prime directive, protecting insider looting from outside interference via a mastery of public relations, managing the narrative, and obfuscation. The core function of the organization becomes masking dysfunction, ossification, sclerosis, and the looting of insiders. The loss of function, accountability, and transparency are hidden from prying eyes and whistleblowers, the most dangerous threats to self-serving insiders. Oh, wait, he's saying, and whistleblowers, the most dangerous threats, are hunted down and destroyed. So doesn't this sound like the way government operates today? Think about what we've talked about. The FBI doesn't stop crime, it manages crime. The DOJ doesn't actually pursue justice, it's just us, you know, it's injustice. And the same thing with every government agency. All it is looting from the inside and then shutting down outsiders, which is Donald Trump. Donald Trump is an outsider. You and I are outsiders. We the people. Why do you think they're closing all the hotel rooms in D.C. when the American people show up? Because D.C. doesn't want to hear from the American people. They want you to go home and shut up and let them loot the country without interference. That's what Charles Hugh Smith is writing about, and that's what I'm talking about. That's why we the people need to politically tear down that city, you know, metaphorically, tear the whole damn thing down. Dismantle it brick by brick, office by office, building by building. I'm speaking metaphorically here. Remove it from the map, metaphorically. You know, lawmakers should live where the people are that they represent. Shouldn't all end up in D.C. in some giant swamp. And regulators should, all the offices should be moved across the country, which is something that Trump was doing. So more news here. Senator Kelly Loeffler will object to certification of the 2020 election results. Well, it's about time. She said, quote, we must restore trust, confidence, and integrity in our election system, says Kelly Loeffler yesterday. Why didn't she say that 20 days ago? Remember when Lynn Wood was doing a rally in Georgia, and he's like, where's Perdue and Loeffler here? And everybody criticized Lynn Wood for that. Lynn Wood was right. Why aren't these two senators fighting for Trump? Well, Loeffler has finally decided, like the day before her election, to stand up for Trump. It's just an act, folks. It's just an act. These people don't give a crap about you. Almost none of them do. There, you know, the number of good senators you can count on one hand. Now, Louis Gohmert says Republicans need to match Antifa and BLM violence after court quashes electoral suit. This is a headline from Zero Hedge. It's a little bit twisted. He didn't exactly say that. What Gohmert actually said is that, quote, the court is saying, quote, we're not going to touch this. You have no remedy. Basically, in effect, the ruling would be that you got to go to the streets and be as violent as Antifa and BLM, said Gohmert in a Newsmax interview on Friday night. In other words, what Gohmert is saying is he's not actually calling for violence. He's saying that the court is leaving the people no option other than to amass in the streets because the courts are saying you have no standing. Well, hey, if you have no standing, you know, that means you have no representation. It means you're not living in a Republican form of government, no constitutional republic. If the courts aren't functioning, Gohmert's right. What option is left? Oh, you have to rise up, don't you? If the courts don't function and they're all corrupt, a bunch of criminal fraudsters running this country, what option do you have? You have to rise up. That's what Gohmert is saying. And he's not wrong about that. And by the way, New York is, they are going to activate COVID camps and throw all the patriots into their death camps and just call it an outbreak. Because you notice that when patriots are coming to D.C., the D.C. mayor says, oh, what about COVID? We better shut everything down. We better have the hotels all shut down. We better have the National Guard out here. But remember when Black Lives Matter and Antifa were rioting all over the West Coast earlier this year or last year, the media was like, ah, there's no risk of infection. They're exercising their free speech rights. COVID won't infect them. COVID doesn't infect people who are left-wing lunatics. Maybe COVID is scared off by the blue hair. I don't know. And the weird facial tattoos. Some of those people are so ugly. If they were naked, you wouldn't be able to tell one end from the other. So the D.C. mayor is calling out the National Guard to stop the pro-Trump rallies. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, is it Bowser? It's like Gozer from Ghostbusters, has called out the National Guard for the pro-Trump Stop the Steal rallies. Yeah. Now, this is the same mayor that ordered the National Guard to stand down when it was Blantifa. But when it's patriots, then, of course, the left-wing media freaks out. Oh, my God, patriots are coming. They might commit violence. Patriots are the most polite people ever, except when you try to steal their country. Then they get pissed, and then they do start to take action. Yep, that's probably what's coming. And there are rumors, and I saw a video. I'm not sure what it showed. It might be Antifa buses being escorted into D.C. by what looked like highway patrol or some kind of law enforcement. So not sure if that's true yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if law enforcement was protecting Antifa. In fact, I think in Portland, wasn't it a bunch of ex-cops that were actually dressing up and you know, pretending to be Black Lives Matter? Pretty sure it was. Trump tweeted out yesterday, the surrender caucus within the Republican Party will go down in infamy as weak and ineffective guardians of our nation who were willing to accept the certification of fraudulent presidential numbers. Damn straight, Trump. You can see his frustration. Trump knows he's going to have to invoke some military option here because the legislators are so corrupt. The GOP is a joke. Grand old party. It's over. Over for the GOP. And then Vice President Pence tweeted out, quote, we've all got our doubts about the last election. I share the concerns of millions of Americans about voting irregularities. I promise you, come this Wednesday, we'll have our day in Congress. We'll hear the objections. We'll hear the evidence, end quote. Doesn't that sound like just wishy-washy excuse making? Oh, we'll hear the objections, and then we're going to put Biden in office anyway. you'll be able to speak for a minute, and then we're going to move on and just get Trump out of there. I think that's what Pence means. I mean, when he says, I promise you, come this Wednesday, why does he have to say, I promise you? When he has the power to do this himself, why doesn't he just do it? Why doesn't he put out a tweet that says, I promise you, come this Wednesday, I'm going to stand for the Republic? You notice he doesn't tweet that because he has no plans to save the Republic, does he? Now, a bunch of former secretaries of defense, they signed on to an article, I think it was in the Washington Post, that warns Trump to not invoke the military. Yep, the Washington Post, which is the CIA mouthpiece rag. And this included James Mattis and Mark Esper, who Trump fired, of course. And they said, oh, Trump, you better not use the military. You know why they're warning Trump not to use the military? Because they know that that's the option he's going to. And then Tom Cotton, Republican senator, breaks with the GOP, says he won't contest the Electoral College results. Now, Cotton has previously backed President Trump. This is a New York Post article. But he says he's not going to contest the Electoral College results because he says it would set an unwise precedent and it would exceed the authority of Congress under the U.S. Constitution. Really? It would exceed your authority to prevent massive fraud from stealing the election? That would exceed your authority? So then what did we elect you for? I mean, this is the same thing about Supreme Court. If you're not going to hear the merits of a case and make the tough decisions about the rule of law in this country, why do we pay you? Give us the robes back. Get off the bench. You know, why do we have senators like this who are the surrender caucus, as Trump said? Tom Cotton is the surrender caucus. Put him in the traitor list. He won't stand up for America. Very few will. Rudy Giuliani now proves that Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia, has lied. And he appeared on Steve Bannon's War Room broadcast, and he showed that Raffensperger lied on key items of fraud. Raffensperger said that ballots weren't shredded and that only two dead people in Georgia voted. No, it was like tens of thousands of dead people in Georgia voted. And that doesn't even count all the phantom voters who never existed. They're not dead. They just never even existed. That's the Bobby Payton statistics. The corrupt politicians in Georgia are doing all they can to prevent the forensic analysis of absentee ballots. This is from the Gateway Pundit. The tweet is breaking. Fulton County, the hearing set for 11 a.m. today, that was yesterday, to determine if ballots from November 3rd in Fulton County should be forensically inspected, as supported by a Georgia Senate subcommittee vote, was just canceled to be transferred to another county. Oh. So even when the state Senate orders a hearing, an investigation, and an audit, then the corrupt state officials say, oh, we're just going to cancel that. Yeah, you don't need to see that right now. Again, add these people to the traitor list. Raffensperger and Kemp, traitors, should be tried for treason. Literally tried for treason in a military tribunal. That's what needs to happen to these people. The Epoch Times reports on 432,000 votes that were removed from Trump in Pennsylvania. The Epoch Times hired a data analysis firm, and they're called the Data Integrity Group. And they found that, you know, this 432,000 votes were removed in 15 counties. And they have this time series election data that shows Trump's votes decrementing in various counties at numerous time points, instead of increasing as would be expected under normal circumstances. So remember on election night, people were watching, you know, CNN or whatever, and the votes would change in the background, and Trump's votes would go down, and Biden's votes would go up, often by the same amount. They would just switch from Trump to Biden. And people, you know, got the videos like, whoa, what is that? That's obvious fraud. They're taking Trump votes and moving them over to Biden. Well, this has been proven yet again by the Epoch Times and you know, their investigation through the Data Integrity Group. They proved it yet again. Trump votes were stolen, 432,000. If you just restore to Trump the votes that he got in all these swing states, Michigan and Wisconsin and Arizona as well, and Georgia, he wins by a landslide, even including all the fraudulent votes that the Biden people shoved in there too. Trump's people outvoted the margin of fraud by Biden's fraudulent voters. So they had to take away from Trump. I mean, Trump won probably by 2-1 in terms of actual Americans showing up to vote, maybe 3-1. But Brian Kilmeade of Fox News says there's no evidence of voter fraud. Yeah. Brian Kilmeade. I always thought that was an odd name. It was like, Kilmeade now. It's almost like he's screaming that. Brian Kilmeade now of Fox News says no evidence of voter fraud. Yeah. Kill me now before I have to listen to your broadcast any longer. Your lies on Fox News. CreativeDestructionMedia.com has put out a new PDF. It's a cyber investigations group that talks about Americans preparing for war as one of the last options. This is a very important piece. I encourage you to check it out. And it's a PDF file. It's called ReclaimingASuperpower.pdf. Talks about how the election system has failed, election audits failed, judiciary failed, the government failed, the media failed. The 10-day audit suggestion from Senator Cruz is not enough time. It will all be thwarted anyway. Anyway, this report ends up with a conclusion. Basically, it's going to be war. It's a 15-page report, and at the end, it's like pretty much war is where this is going. You know, unless Trump stops it first. All right, now two other big bombshell stories of the day from yesterday. Both of them trace back to Patrick Byrne. So a massive election fraud enterprise was uncovered, and this was on Populist Press. And here's one of the tweets from Byrne. Well, a series of them. Citizens, I'm going to add to the picture with more information. I'm not going to let this pass while keeping information to myself. A printing shop in Michigan prints ballots for Delaware County, Pennsylvania, and as Lancashire County, Pennsylvania. This is normal. But along with the ballots it prints on contract and delivers to those counties, it prints some ballots that get diverted to Bethpage, New York. There, in Bethpage, New York, a boiler room of folks fill in the Biden votes. The ballots, which are forensically legitimate, given that they came from the same print shop as the good ballots, they get trucked into Pennsylvania and mailed, hundreds of thousands. We have all of that documented, texts, statements, affidavits, everything. We also know the same ballot printing company also prints for Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Georgia. You got it? So remember when that mailman was talking publicly about, hey, I was driving a mail truck from New York to Pennsylvania and it was full of pallets, full of ballots. That's what this was. So the ballots were shipped to New York, where a bunch of treasonous actors there, paid Democrat operatives, they just fill in the Biden circles, Biden, 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 and they just, you know, put their initials on it, same signatures, everything. And they shipped those back to Pennsylvania, ran those. And even that wasn't enough to beat Trump. They had to delete votes from Trump in order to beat him. Incredible. Oh, and Byrne also says, quote, word is the DOJ and DHS have been told to stand down. That President Trump himself has had to call agents on the ground asking them to continue. Amazing. See? The DOJ. Treasonous criminals. And then another bombshell from Patrick Byrne. This dude is full of bombshells. This guy's everywhere. He's like sleeping with spies, bribing Hillary Clinton, inventing cryptocurrency. Like, we should write a spy novel called I Want to Be Patrick Byrne, you know, like live his crazy life, you know. Dude is everywhere. But, you know, to his credit, I'm just joking. He's a good guy. This was on noqreport.com, and he talks about this earth-shattering news of a Chinese shipping receipt has been recovered among hundreds of thousands of shredded ballots in Georgia. So as they were going through these boxes, I guess they got their hands on some of these boxes of ballots in Georgia that are being fed into the shredder vans right now because Raffensperger is committing total treasonous fraud, trying to destroy the evidence of his crimes. They came across some Chinese shipping receipts. So some of these ballots are getting printed from China. So he, Byrne explains, China sends counterfeit ballots to Fulton County, Georgia. And then during the counting on election night, all but four people were shoved out of the counting operations on the grounds of a water main break. Remember that excuse? Oh, the water main break. No, they made that up. And then, you know, they shred all the evidence after the election. And then if you try to sue, the courts say you have no standing, you see. You have no standing. I mean, does this have you pulling your hair out? Because it does for me, all of us. It's like WTF endlessly. You know, you thought you lived in a country that had a system of justice, that the courts would be impartial, that the election would count, that your vote counted? Forget it. It's all rigged. It's all been stolen. And the Second Amendment's going to be the last option here, folks. That's it. It's going to be Second Amendment. Because Trump's surrounded. Lynn Wood tweeted, "The price for speaking truth can be high. Ultimately, one's life and the lives of his or her family members and friends can be at risk or lost. I ask for your prayers that Almighty God cover me, my family members and close friends, with Psalms 91 protection," he says. Or as Joe Biden would say, Palms 91. Yeah. I've shared with several individuals the truth I will be speaking to you. Killing me will not prevent the truth from being revealed. It will only trigger its release by many others. Let me read you some more of these Lynn Wood tweets, okay? Because he's still going. "I believe Chief Justice John Roberts and a multitude of powerful individuals worldwide are being blackmailed in a horrendous scheme involving rape and murder of children captured on videotape. I have the key to the files containing the videos." This is Lynn Wood. "I have also shared this information." Whoa. So wait a second. Did he just say that there are videos of Chief Justice John Roberts raping and murdering children? Yeah, that's exactly what he just said. And Lynn Wood is a defamation attorney. I have a feeling he wouldn't be saying this stuff if he couldn't back it up, right? He goes on, "This blackmail scheme is conducted by members of 10 of the world's most well-known elite intelligence agencies. And one of those groups was hacked by a group known as Lizard Squad." Lizard Squad. "The blackmail files of rape and murder were obtained by this group, and a copy was provided to Isaac Cappy." Now, I published an article with these tweets yesterday on Natural News, and we put in a video there of Isaac Cappy. He's an actor. He was killed. So Isaac Cappy, in this video, he was talking about, he was saying, you know, Tom Hanks is a pedophile, and James Caan, he said, was a pedophile, and Steven Spielberg, he said, was a pedophile, and he was naming off a bunch of people. And then he said they're going to come for him. Sure enough, the dude's dead. And this is an actor you would recognize. You've seen him in movies and things. They killed him. Lynn Wood continues, "The blackmail targets are approached with a gun, a child, and a camera. The target is ordered to rape the child on video. The target is then ordered to shoot the child on video. The target is then owned and controlled by the blackmailers until blackmail evidence loses its value." Whoa. You know why whoa? Because didn't I explain this 2 days ago before Lynn Wood tweeted all this stuff? Remember? I'm pretty sure it was the January 2nd situation update where I was explaining this exact thing, that this is the blackmail system that's in place all around the world. They get famous people or, you know, influential people, Supreme Court justices, presidents, members of Congress, you know, world leaders, whatever. Big tech CEOs, they get them to come into the room, you know, and have sex with a 12-year-old girl or boy or whatever. Who knows what? And they get them on video. And that a lot of these people agree to do it. They agree to do it because they want the power. They're told, if you do this so that we can have this blackmail held over you, then we will make you powerful, but you will always do what we say. This is how people become famous in Hollywood and in the music industry. This is how I think a lot of people get to the top of pop music. You know, the Katy Perrys of the world, many others. Same thing in Hollywood and acting gigs and so on. For the most part, They're all compromised. They've either sold their souls to Satan or they've agreed to rape a child on video. I mean, this is not just a conspiracy theory. But a lot of people are learning about this for the first time because of Lynn Wood. So Lynn Wood continues, after Cappy received the hacked files from members of Lizard Squad, he gave the files to one friend and the encrypted key to another friend. He provided this information to his friends shortly before he was murdered in May 13 of 2019. Members of Lizard Squad were then jailed for hacking. Jeffrey Epstein used the same blackmail scheme of child rape and murder to further his own interests or those of any intelligence agency with whom he worked. And it's widely believed, by the way, that Epstein was working for Mossad, Israeli intelligence. Lynn Wood explains, all who flew on his private jet or visited his island must be immediately interrogated and brought to justice. Yeah. And then Lynn Wood goes on to explain, he's given this information to Donald Trump. Apparently he's turned over the video files and the encryption keys to Donald Trump. I'm not sure how that happened exactly, but I would imagine that there would be some White House staffers who probably tried to intercept it so they could, you know, enjoy watching all the videos themselves because they're creepy swamp creatures. That's how sick and twisted this whole situation is, folks. So obviously there's a lot of speculation about, could Trump drop some of these bombshells on Wednesday? I mean, oh my, could he roll out Epstein? It would be the biggest surprise in history right there. I hope he does. I hope all this comes out. I hope America sees what the American people have been tolerating. The clueless, obedient masses. You know, the people who go along with the vaccines and believe CNN. The people who make Google their default search engine because they're morons. They think government officials care about them. They think Democrats are tolerant. I hope they see the hell that they have created, because it's all these ignorant masses that are responsible for the child rape and child murder, child trafficking and child sacrifice that now characterizes the swamp and the institutions of influence in our country. America, founded on Christian principles, has plunged into a nation of demonic child rape. And it's the child rapists who are running the media, running big tech, running the elections, running the Senate, running the Supreme Court. It's the child rapists who are in charge of everything, except they're not in charge of Trump, and they're not in charge of you and me. You and I, we answer to God. We don't answer to these demons. Which is why we the people is the ultimate solution to this entire problem. We the people, backed by God, by the way. I forgot to mention, divine influence is another option in all of this. And we all should pray, and we should ask God to intervene. Because God only answers the prayers that you elucidate in your free will. So you need to ask God to intervene. Ask God to save this nation from the demons who are running it. Ask God to save the children from the pedophilia and the rape and the trafficking run by Democrats and senators and Supreme Court justices, these left-wing lunatics that are also trying to drive our country into the ground because that serves their master, who is Satan, and Satan's proxy, the CCP. Ask God to intervene. I don't think God wants to see America plunged into a nation of demons. There are only two nations that were ever founded on Christian principles like this. You know, in the Constitution, America's one of them. Israel's the other. And we need to save this nation. So that's where we are, folks. That's what's at stake. This fight is not going to be easy, and not everybody's going to make it through. We're going to have to fight for our freedom. It's now apparent. That's the good news and the bad news. The good news is we still have an option. The bad news is it's not going to be easy. Nothing's free. We're going to have to take down the demons and the crooks, criminals, fraudsters, the corrupt, the con artists, the communists. We're going to have to take them all down. we the people, with our president, with our commander in chief, we're going to have to save him from the swamp. So that's what's underway right now. I'll bring you another update tomorrow. Of course, you know, we'll try to see where we are. It's going to be something. Anything can happen in the next 24 hours. So stay tuned. Pray to God for protection, but also take action. And practice discernment also about where you're getting your information, what you choose to believe, and what actions you wish to take. This is the most important time that any of us will ever live through in our entire lifetimes, and maybe the most important time in the history of this nation. God calls upon us to be men and women of courage and of principle. And if we fulfill that calling from God, then we may just earn back our constitutional republic. But if we aren't willing to fight for it, we will lose it, and we will all be exterminated under an authoritarian communist regime. The death squads will begin immediately after Biden is sworn in, if that's what happens, the death squads. Everything that you've seen in communist China will happen here in America. That's what's at stake. So thank you for listening today. And I'll bring you another update tomorrow and each and every day until we get our country back, or they take me out. But I will fight. And I will not let them do that for free. They will pay a price. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, founder of Brighteon.com and naturalnews.com. God bless America. God bless you.